Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for September 17th, 2013. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be speaking with Peter Parker, Mark Lynch, and Neil MacDonald about a study that appears in the current issue of Science Signaling. Their group has identified a motif in an atypical protein kinase C that mediates the interactions with a subset of its substrates, and they've shown that a residue in this motif is frequently mutated in cancer. Atypical protein kinase C iota, or PKC iota, is a serine threonine kinase that affects many cellular processes, including growth, proliferation, and migration. PKC iota interacts with polarity proteins and is important for maintaining apical basal polarity in epithelial cells. Loss of cell polarity is often associated with aggressive epithelial cell cancers, and PKC iota is frequently found in abnormally high abundance in epithelial cancers. In a new study published this week in Science Signaling, Parker, Lynch, and MacDonald report their identification of a motif within PKC iota that mediates its interactions with some of its substrates that control cell polarity. They also found that an amino acid within this motif is commonly affected in PKC iota mutants associated with human cancers. Parker, Lynch, and MacDonald spoke to me from the Cancer Research UK London Research Institute. Dr. MacDonald, Dr. Parker, Dr. Lynch, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thank you.
Peter, how is cell polarity, or the loss of it, correlated with cancer progression and prognosis?
So cell polarity is a critical function of normal epithelial cells responding to their immediate environment. And progressively, tumor cells, about 80% of which are derived from epithelia, lose their sense of place and they fail to form polarized structures. So there is a correlation between cancer progression and the loss of polarity.
To build on that,
Mark Lynch,
if you look at pathological assessments of human tumors, loss of polarity is one of the hallmarks of aggressive and invasive cancers. And if you look at proteins that play a role in polarity based on early metazoans, such as the fly, these polarity proteins, if you look at that in human cancers, increased or decreased abundance of these proteins correlates very well with poor prognosis. The mechanism by which polarity leads to human cancer is not well described, however.
How does PKC iota participate in establishing and maintaining cell polarity? Does it participate in establishing and maintaining it, or just in maintaining polarity once it's already been established?
From the evidence, again, from early metazoans, I think we can say it's required for both the establishment and maintenance of polarity. This is achieved by a complex system of mutual antagonism between polarity complexes, but there's also phosphorylation and positive feedback mechanisms.
So,
Peter Parker.
PKC iota is involved in probably all forms of polarity in the sense that you have planar cell polarity associated with cell-cell-cell matrix interactions. You have a polarity associated with the migratory and invasive behavior of cells, and again, atypical PKC is involved in that, PKC iota. And in terms of the cell itself, its ability to asymmetrically distribute components around the cell, characteristic of a monolayer of polarized epithelia, again, atypical PKCs are involved in that process. And there are probably different complexes and different players involved in those different processes. So for example, in migration, we know that there is a complex that's associated with the physical movement of cargoes from the perinuclear region to the leading edge of cells, in which PKC iota is involved in enabling that cargoing and delivering particular signals to the leading edge of cells. In terms of the epicobasal polarity, there is an involvement in complexes that are associated with maintaining the apical nature of that apical membrane, and through interactions with its partner proteins, PAR6 and PAR3, PAR3 probably being responsible for the recruitment and maintenance of the PAR6 atypical PKC complex, or the initial trigger of getting that complex to the apical surface. That recruitment and the phosphorylation of a variety of proteins in that location cause then asymmetric distribution. So the formation of that complex leads eventually to the phosphorylation of PAR3 itself, which dissociates and becomes associated with the lateral membrane. There is, in that domain, competition between PAR3 interaction and another protein, the tumor suppressor protein LLGL2 and its family member LLGL1. And the interaction and phosphorylation of LLGL1 and LLGL2 leads to its dissociation and removal to the basolateral membrane. So it's sitting in a domain, and it is through its catalytic function causing the phosphorylation and redistribution of other players in the polarity game to other parts of the cell.
In this study, you identified a domain in PKC iota that mediates the interaction with some of its polarity complex substrates. Neil, how did you identify that motif, and which PKC iota substrates bind to it?
It was largely serendipity, because we spotted it from our structural work on PKC iota bound to a chemical inhibitor. We noticed a curious crystal lattice contact, which we call the ripper motif, after the amino acids involved. And we noticed that these were invariant residues, which were far from the enzyme's active site. So we asked if this motif was functionally important, which is what Mark then went on to do. And a hint that the residues might be important also was supported by the similarity of this motif to a region in the EGF receptor that was responsible for the EGF receptor transactivation. So it was fundamentally serendipity. Mark, do you want to follow up on which substrates you found?
Yeah, so to test what the function of this ripper motif of PKC iota was, we transfected either the wild-type PKC iota or PKC iota mutated at the ripper motif and performed co-immunoprecipitation experiments. The mass spec from these resulting experiments identified a number of binding proteins in both the wild type and the ripper mutant proteins. By comparing these two groups, we were able to identify a list of ripper binding proteins. The most prevalent and reproducible hits were LLGL2 and myosin 10. And interestingly, from further mutagenesis studies, we were able to show that the LLGL2 protein has a predilection for binding to the first arginine, which is the arginine 471 of the ripper motif, whereas the myosin 10 has a predilection for the second arginine of that motif, which is arginine 474.
You've identified this motif that mediates binding to a couple of substrates. What do those substrates do in the context of cell polarity?
The most direct evidence is that if you manipulate their expression, you influence polarity.
Peter Parker.
So I guess we know that they are involved in the process of sustaining polarity. And one of the reasons then for being particularly interested in the fact that they are selectively pulled out by this motif is that it would tend to map then polarizing functions associated with iota to that motif. In terms of the details of how myosin 10 or how LLGL2 or LLGL1 for that matter influence polarity, for the LLGL proteins, there is evidence that they compete with binding to atypical PKC with PAR3. But in fact, what the consequence of that is precisely and how then their subsequent modification and redistribution to the basolateral influences the overall polarized behavior, I think I would suggest is moot. Myosin 10 is even less well characterized, and although there is good evidence that's involved in polarization and that part of that involves interaction with membrane lipids, it is really not clear about how that is affecting its functions in terms of polarization. So it's really not well understood.
So Mark, what happens then when you make mutations in the ripper motif?
As PKC iota had a well-defined role in polarity, we decided to set up a model system using polarity as our readout. So we grew Mardin-Darby canine kidney cells, or MDCK cells, in Matrigel, and they usually form polarized cysts. When you express the ripper mutated PKC iota in these MDCK cells, they are unable to form the normal polarized morphogenesis. So mutation of this motif abrogates normal polarization.
As part of the study, you looked at mutations in human PKC iota that are associated with cancers, and you identified some mutations that map to that RIPA motif. How are those mutations that you documented expected to affect the function of PKC iota?
So the effects on iota, we think, are going to be very selective.
Peter Parker.
We know from a number of model systems that iota has functions in multiple pathways, and that this is going to influence rather particularly one set of pathways that are involved in the types of polarizing functions we have described. So in terms of how that perhaps then plays out in cancer, I think it's very interesting that from Mark's work, the expression of a single point mutation, which is a precise mimic of what we see for the most prevalent of the mutations observed for the RIPA motif, that has effectively a dominant function. So in effect, then, in cancer, you might anticipate that a single allele with that mutation is going to suppress normal polarized behavior in that tumor. But in terms of other attributes of PKC iota, we know from the work with the purified protein that it retains its normal catalytic function. We know from the proteomic analysis that many of the other partner proteins that it associates with, so PAR6 and PAR3, sequestrosome 1, for example, are still retained in complexes with the RIPA mutant protein. And therefore, many of the other functions that it is associated with are retained. So we anticipate that the requirement for iota in terms of its ability to support transform behaviors that are not associated with maintaining polarity are in place, but that this is really a change of function mutation or an altered function mutation that is removing what may be seen as perhaps a somewhat suppressive behavior of the system.
Thanks to all of you for talking with me about your work.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Peter Parker, Mark Lynch, and Neil McDonald, authors of a paper published in the September 17th issue of Science Signaling by Lynch and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any questions or comments, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.